Oh, it's good to be with you this afternoon again.
很高兴今天下午又能跟弟兄姐妹们一起在一起。
Let me pray before we start.
让我先为大家做个祷告。
Father, we thank you for this day.
慈悲的天父，我们感谢你有今日能够团聚在一起崇拜您。
We thank you for this place.
感谢您提供的这个场所。
We thank you for each person here.
感谢您把所有各位带到这个场所。
Lord, will you speak to us today?
求您能够通过我的口向大家讲话。
May we sense your presence.
让我们能够感受到您的亲临。
We ask this in Jesus' name.
我们这样的祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.
There's much to learn from these verses this day.
这段经文的内容里面有很多值得我们学习的地方。
They can be applied personally and cooperatively as well.
这段经文呢，它既可以应用在我们个人的生活当中，也可以应用在群体生活里面。
I learned these verses when I was just a boy.
当我还是个孩子的时候，我就对这几节经文很熟悉了。
And they have been my life guiding principle, especially verse 12 to 17.
那么他从我儿时开始一直到现在呢，一直成为了我人生的指引，特别是这章里面的十二节到十七节。
For this, for your sake this afternoon, I will be focusing on what this letter means with regards to our life together in community.
那么今天下午呢，针对各位呢，我想要特别从这个群体生活的角度呢，来思考这封信的意义。
This is the third message I have preached from this letter.
这个已经是我就这封信件呢所讲的第三次讲到了。
Yeah. The first one I talked about, if you remember, about our life together as begins with the value of friendship.
如果大家还记得的话，我的第一个讲到讲的是说，在我们共同生活当中呢，我们是先从这个友谊的价值。
As a community of faith, we're not simply an organization; we are foremost friends and family.
那么，作为一个有信仰的群体呢，我们不仅仅是一个组织，我们更是一群朋友和家人。
And it's so important that we understand this.
那么这一点对我们来说是很重要的，要理解这一点。
In the early church, congregations met in homes, and they were invited by guests and friends.
在早期的教会呢，大家都是有经过朋友呢，被请到家里来共同聚会。
And in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we read about the Philippian church starting in Lydia's home.
在这个使徒行传第几章？
16:14.
在《使徒行传》第十六章十四节里面呢，我们就读到了当时呢有一个教会的成员是他邀请大家去他家里面聚会。
Yes, and now so the family and the household met together. They were friends and family.
那么就是说这个家庭的主人呢和这个朋友之间，大家都一起聚会都是朋友。
So before we had constitutions and bylaws and tax exempt numbers, we were just friends and families.
那么在之前，在我们有这些所谓的宪章啊，各种各样的这些规章制度之前呢，大家都是生活以朋友的这种形式生活在一起。
And we met together for our common love for Jesus.
那么那个时候呢，我们在一起呢，都是为着这个接基督的爱而在一起。
Paul's letter to the Philippians, was that they were endangering those intimate relationships by disputes, conflicts, and disagreements.
那么保罗在写这封信的时候呢，他很担心的就是这个腓立比教会呢，他们内部开始出现了纷争啊、冲突啊，
And they were undermining their life together as God's people.
那么这些冲突呢，破坏了他们作为上帝子民彼此之间的关系。
And last month I shared that cultivating a healthy community life was so important because it was the clearest witness of God's grace before a watching world.
上个月呢，我和大家分享过为什么培养健康的信仰群体这么重要，因为教会的合一呢，是世人能够清楚地看到神恩典的见证。
Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed thus these words, that Father, that they may be one even as we are one, so that the world might believe that you have sent me.
那么耶稣在他的这个作为祭司的祷告中曾经这样说，他说愿他们合而为一，正如你和我合而为一一样。换句话说就是说，当我们彼此相爱，活出合一的时候，世界就能看见神的爱。
Unity of the body of Christ is the clearest testimony of God's love for humanity as we love one another.
我们彼此的合一就是为上帝的爱的最好的见证。
In this chapter, I want us to reflect on the practices that contribute to building loving communities.
在这一章中呢，我希望能够让大家能够考虑到怎样能够帮助建立健康群体的这些实践的行动。
And loving communities don't just happen all by themselves. It takes work.
健康的群体不是凭空出现的，我们必须要努力的去建造。
Because there are forces that will hinder and undermine our lives together.
因为会有来自各方的某种力量要试图破坏或削减我们的这种共同的生活。
Briefly from verse 1 to 11, we read at least two attitudes that hinder our relationship with Christ and with one another.
那么在这个这一章的这个第一节到第十一节中呢，保罗起码提到了两种这个破坏神与人之间的这种关系的态度。
The first one is self-righteousness in verse 4, confidence in the flesh.
第一个呢，就是第四节的这种自以为是，就是第四节里提到的对肉体的这种自信。
So, he writes this in verse 4, though,I myself have reason to put confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more reasons.
那么在这个第四节中呢，保罗这样说，他说其实我也可以依靠肉体的。如果有人以为自己可以依靠肉体夸口，那我就更可以夸口。
Paul was talking about his life as a Pharisee.
那么保罗在这里呢，是说他作为一个法利赛人的这个生活。
He prided himself that he lived such an exemplary life as a Pharisee.
那么他以自己比别人更虔诚、更洁净的这种法利赛人的这个生活方式呢而自居。
And he was saw himself as a protector of the faith.
他认为自己是真正的信徒，是保卫这些信仰的这个捍卫者。
He calls himself the Hebrew of Hebrews.
他称自己是希伯来人中的希伯来人。
And validated his cruelty to those who do not believe the way he did.
这个不仅是他的骄傲，也更成为了他迫害那些不认同他信仰之人的理由。
Self-righteousness undermines friendship and unity by looking at others as inferior spiritually as oneself.
那么自以为是呢，不仅会破坏友谊和合一，因为它能让人觉得自己的在灵性上呢比别人更高一等。
It rears its ugly head when one party believes it knows the Bible better than the others.
当一个人认为自己比别人更懂圣经的时候，就是用自己的标准去批评别人。
And judging other Christians in the community less.Than themselves because they don't think the same.
那觉得那些观点不同的这些弟兄姐妹的灵性呢，就可能不够，因为他们是用自己的这个标准来评价别人，这种心态呢是非常丑陋的。
It's so easy to see how this kind of attitude is the cause of many church splits.
这种态度会导致这个教会的分裂，这种现象呢实在是太常见了。
When I was a young Christian, our church, a church that we loved very deeply, went through two church splits.
我还年轻的时候，我在一个我非常喜爱的这个教会里面，当时我亲眼目睹和经历了教会经历了两次分裂。
And I saw and experienced how devastating that can be to our Christian maturity.
那么这让我亲眼目睹了这种分裂的冲击和伤害。 对灵性的成长有多么大的影响。
And I saw how friends overnight became enemies.
我亲眼看到了一夜之间朋友怎样就变成了敌人。
All of them quoting scriptures to back up their righteous view.
每个人都拿圣经来证明自己的立场是最属灵的。
So hurtful were those days that some people that I know from those days and love no longer go to church today.
这种撕裂是如此的伤害，使得很多信徒呢因此而远离了教会。
They still believe in Jesus.
他们仍然相信耶稣。
But they don't believe in the church.
但是他们不再相信教会了。
So self-righteousness is a cancer.That see others as less than oneself.
那么自以为是就像一颗毒瘤一样，它就是把它伪装成一种属灵的热心。
It clothes itself as doing good, but always ends up in breaking relationships.
虽然说它伪装把自己伪装得很好，但最终呢却是破坏关系，制造伤害。
The second warning is pride.
那么第二个警告呢就是骄傲。
In verse 6, we read that Paul sees himself as circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrews of Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisees as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless.
在保罗在第六节中呢，他继续说到，说第八天受隔离，属于以色列民。属便雅悯之派，是希伯来人中的希伯来人，按律法说是法利赛人，按热心说是逼迫教会的，按律法的义说是无可指摘的。
So Paul describes himself before becoming a Christian as blameless.
所以保罗呢，他在描述自己在成为基督徒之前呢，是把自己描写成一个是简直是一个无可指摘的人。
Even as a Pharisee, he thought himself better than other Jews.
几乎是作为法利赛人，他也觉得他比其他的犹太人更虔诚。
He describes himself righteous under the law and blameless.
他这样描述自己说，按照律法的义来说，是无可指摘的了。
So in his mind, he had every right to persecute the church.
所以在他的心中，他认为自己有迫害教会的正当理由。
Because he saw himself as righteous, and that it was righteous anger to put Christians in jail, even approving the murder of Stephen.
所以呢，正因为如此呢，他认为自己是个义人，所以呢，他的愤怒是公义的愤怒。他甚至呢，把基督徒投入监狱，甚至批准了斯提凡的这个谋法的谋杀的这个行动。
We read this in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, when. Others who stoned Stephen put their clothes at his feet.
这一点呢，我们可以在《使徒行传》七章第五十九节的时候看到，说那些用石头砸死斯蒂凡的人，他们把衣服放在这个扫罗的脚前。
What is the fruit of pride?
那么骄傲的果子是什么呢
？James puts it this way.
雅各书是这样说的。
Chapter 4, verse 1.
在第四章一到二节中。
What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble.
在雅各书四章 书中，在他这样说，你们中间为什么争闹？为什么有纷争？难道不是因为你们心中有贪欲在争斗吗？你们贪求却得不着，就杀人；你们嫉妒却不能得着，就争斗、争闹。抵挡神，抵挡骄傲的人，神赐福给谦卑的人。
So pride undermines unity by thinking oneself better than others, wanting one's way over the ways of others.Resulting in an emotional disconnect and an inability to empathize with our sisters and brothers.
这个骄傲呢，最终肯定是会破坏合一，因为它让人觉得自己比别人更优秀，总是想让自己的这个以自己的这个方式占上风，这最终就导致了情感上的隔离隔阂。
As such, then pride makes it impossible to say that I'm sorry or to receive apologies from others because it believes that it's always right.
同时呢，骄傲使我们无法与兄弟姐妹产生共鸣，也无法呢理解他们的处境。更重要的是，骄傲使我们根本说不出对不起，也不能接受别人的道歉，因为骄傲总是让我们认为自己是对的。
So self-righteousness and pride can be a source of great cruelty in our history.
所以，这个骄傲呢和这个自以为是，它是对我们的这个灵性是非常有害的。
So how do we respond to our tendency to be self-righteous and proud?
那我们怎么样回应我们有这种自以为是和骄傲的趋势呢？
How might we promote the well-being of others?
我们怎么样能够让其他的人能有益处呢？
Well, let me give you three examples.
让我来给几个例子。
So, number one, living sacrificially.
首先第一个呢，就是我们需要活出舍己的生命来。
So Paul writes this in verse 7. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss.For the sake of Christ, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ.
保罗这样说，我曾有的所有优势，我都看作是为基督所失。事实上，因认识基督耶稣，我主的缘故，我把一切都看作是损失。为了得着基督，我已经失去了所有的东西，并且视他们如同垃圾。
Sacrificial living is the willingness to lose in order to win.
要活出舍己的生命，就是愿意为了能赢得更大的价值而愿意自己受损。
So Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord.
那么保罗说，我把一切都看作是损失，因为认识耶稣基督，我主的这个超越的价值。
Friends, it is costly to follow Jesus.
朋友们，跟随耶稣是要付出昂贵的代价的。
As we often have to give of ourselves for the betterment of others in community with us.
因为我们常常需要为了他人的益处而付出，尤其是要与他人共同生，是在这个与他人共同生活的社区中。
It is following Jesus in loving others, reconciling with others, even people whom we do not like very much.
这意味着我们要跟随耶稣去爱他人，去与他人和解，即便是与那些我们不太喜欢的人和解。
I'm reminded of the story Jesus told about the prodigal son.
我想起了耶稣讲的浪子回头的故事。
Who caused deep hurt to his father by demanding his heritage now.
那位儿子因为要求他的父亲立刻分他的遗产，给他的父亲带来了深深的伤痛。
That was a great insult in those days.
在那个时候，这是对父亲的最大的这个侮辱。
And the story goes on that he left his home and went out into the world and spent all of his inheritance.
那么按照那个故事，后来呢，他就带着这些遗产，在外面把所有的财产都花光了。
And when he came to his senses, he returned to his father to be counted as a slave or a servant.
当他觉醒过来的时候，他决定重新回到他父亲身边，哪怕是当他父亲的一个仆人。
But before he got to the house, his father saw him and had compassion on him, embraced him and kissed him, forgiving his son, actually forgiving both his sons, because the elder son was even worse than the younger. And father risked everything for the love of his son.
但是当他还没有到家的时候，父亲就看见他了。这个父亲充满了怜悯地跑过去，抱着他，亲吻他，饶恕了他的儿子。实际上这个父亲他饶恕了他两个儿子，因为大儿子的行为可能比小儿子还更糟糕。
The prodigal son is one of my favorite texts in scripture.
这个浪子回头的故事是在圣经当中我最喜欢的故事之一。
It reveals to us the heart of God who loved humanity so much that he was willing to risk everything, even the death of his son, who died on our behalf.
因为这个故事，它揭示了上帝的心肠，他是如此的爱我们，竟甚至将他的独生子赐给我们，他为我们而死，这才是真正的牺牲。
He did this so that we might have life.
他这样做是因为他这样做是因为如此做而使我们得了永生。
That's the greatest example of sacrifice.
这个是最好的牺牲的例子。
So living sacrificially as in a community calls us to this kind of love for one another.
那么在社区中呢，能够活出舍己的生活呢，要求我们能够以这种彼此相爱的方式相待，愿意为爱去失去一切。
A willingness to lose everything for love's sake.
愿意为爱去失去一切。
It's uncomfortable, I know.
这种方式一定是对我们来说是不是一种很舒适的生活方式。
And the challenge for us is that we too often prefer safety over sacrifice.
我们面临的挑战是太多的时候我们会更倾向于选择安全而并不是牺牲舍己。
It's easier to keep things as they are rather than trying to do better.
因为维持现状比努力去做得更好来得更容易。
To make rules rather than to honor relationships.
我们宁愿去制定某些规则而不愿意去尊重某些关系。
Because it hurts when others don't always love us back the way we love them, doesn't it?
因为当别人不像我们爱他们那样爱我们的时候，实际上是很痛苦的，不是吗？
But to endure and to embrace without desiring anything in return is the most difficult and godly behavior to cultivate in our spiritual life.
然而忍耐并且能够接纳，不求任何的回报，才是最难以培养、最符合上帝心意的行为。
And we need God's help. We need His presence. We need Holy Spirit power and love to love sacrificially, because we don't have it in ourselves and the ability in ourselves to do it.
我们需要神的同在，我们需要圣灵的力量去过牺牲舍己的生活，因为我们自己没有能力做到这一点。
So in his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, he writes these words. But love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or never fails.
所以保罗在给哥林多前书的第十三章七到八节的时候，他就说到。爱就是凡事包容，凡事相信，凡事盼望，凡事忍耐，爱是永不止息。
Living sacrificially enables us to be generous to others, generous in forgiveness, generous in accepting, generous in loving. It may mean loss, but the gain, as Paul sees it, is worth it all.
那么做出舍己的生活，过着舍己牺牲的生活呢，是让我们能够慷慨的待人，慷慨的宽容，慷慨的接纳，慷慨的去爱。舍己这可能意味着是要失去自我的利益，但正如保罗所见证的体会的那种是值得的。
The second reflection is to live humbly.
第二条呢，就是说要活出谦卑的生命来。
Verse 12, not that I already attained this or already am perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own.
在腓立比书三章十二节里面他说到，并不是我已经得着了，或已经完全了，我只是在努力追求，想要得着它，因为基督耶稣已经把我得着了。
You know, as we have to understand that it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, we still have a lot to learn to be a Christian.
我们知道，无论我们信主多久，我们在基督里的生命仍然都是有许多欠缺、许多需要学习的地方。
The attitude is opposite to pride. It does not mean that we see ourselves less than others, but a willingness to listen to others and learn from them.
这种谦卑的态度呢，它和骄傲是对立的，但它并不意味着我们觉得自己比别人低，而是愿意倾听他人，向他人学习。
So in chapter 2, Paul writes these words to the Philippians, let this mind be in you the same as it was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not found it something to be struggled with, but became a servant.
所以呢，在这个腓立比书二章里面呢，保罗这样说，说你们要存心合一，像耶稣基督一样，他本有的神的形象却不以自己的神同等为强夺的，他本有神的形象，又不以强夺。Yeah.
He made himself nothing, taking on the servant, the nature of a servant.
他反倒虚己，取了奴仆的形象，成为人的样式。
This is Jesus. This is what we're called as Christians to follow.
这就是耶稣基督，也是我们应当效法的榜样。
There's a story from Luke chapter 12, Luke, from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus was 12 years old.
那么在路加福音第十二章里面呢，有一个关于耶稣还是幼年时的故事。
His parents were on their way back to Nazareth and discovered that Jesus was not with them.
当时呢，他的耶稣的家长呢，父母亲呢，已经在往拿撒路回那个拿撒路的路上了，但是发现哎，耶稣怎么跟他们没有同行
？And so they returned to the temple to look for him.
于是他们又回到这个神殿里去找他。
And what does Luke says? Luke tells us that Jesus was there, and he's doing two things here. He's listening.And asking questions of religious teachers.
那么，在路加福音里，他怎么说的呢？路加告诉我们说，当时耶稣有做两件事情，一个是当时他正在圣殿里面呢，听这些教士的讲道，并且呢，向他们提问。
And then in the next verse, it says he returned to Nazareth with his parents, and then Luke tells us that the 12-year-old Jesus was obedient to them.
那么之后呢？根据路加福音的记载，耶稣就跟着父母回到了拿撒勒。就像这个路加所说的，这个十二岁的耶稣呢，他很顺从了他的父母。
So how did Luke know this story?
那么路加是怎么知道这些故事的呢
？I think it was his mother Mary that told him because the Bible says she kept all these things in her heart.
我认为这应该是耶稣的母亲玛利亚告诉他的，因为圣经里当时说玛利亚把这些事都记在了心里。
The story of 12-year-old Jesus helps us to understand a little bit more clearly what Paul is talking about, the attitude of Jesus in chapter 2 of this letter.
那么这个十二岁耶稣的故事是一个非常有力的例子，它展示了谦卑和顺服到底是什么。这帮助我们理解保罗在腓立比书二章中所要求的这种相同的这个态度。
Though Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, he listened and asked questions and was obedient to his parents.
耶稣虽然作为上帝的儿子，但是他谦卑自己去聆听、提问，并且顺从他的父母。
And so humility is that attitude that makes room for us to listen to others, but also to ask.Clarifying questions of others.
所以谦卑呢，不仅是让我们有空间去聆听他人，而且呢，也能向他人提出，要澄清的这种问题。
All this without judging others, but seeking to understand.
这一切呢，都不带有要批评别人或者论断别人，而是要寻求去理解别人。
I'm sure even 12-year-old Jesus.Could have argued with religious teachers, but he didn't. He listened to them, asked questions, and then we read he was submissive to his parents.
我相信，尽管是十二岁的耶稣，他也一定有能力与宗教的教师争论，但是他并没有那样做。他选择了聆听，然后提问。之后呢，我们也看到他顺从了父母的教导。
I'm often asked by people.What is the most important quality that I would look for in a church leader or pastor.
我多次被问到说，作为一个教会的领袖或者牧师，需要具备的最重要的品质是什么呢？
And I replied without hesitation, humility.
我总是毫不犹豫地回答，谦卑。
Because the humble makes room to learn and space for others to grow.
因为谦卑的人能够有空间学习，并且呢能够为他人的成长腾出空间。
Theologian and pastor Andrew Murray makes this observation of humility.
神学家和牧师安德鲁穆雷他对谦卑做出了这样的观察。
He says humility is perfect quietness of heart.
他说谦卑是内心的完美宁静。
It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed.
对我来说，谦卑意味着没有烦恼，从不感到焦虑、烦恼、恼火、痛苦或失望。
It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing that is done against me.
谦卑就是不期待任何事情，不对别人对我所做的任何事情感到惊讶，也不觉得别人对我做了什么不好的事。
It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I'm blamed or despised.
意味着当没有人夸赞我的时候，或者当我被责备或者轻视的时候，仍然能保持内心的平静。
It is to have a blessed home in the Lord.Where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as a deep sea of calmness when all around is troubled.
谦卑意味着能够在上帝面前有一个蒙福的家，我可以进去关上门，在我的天父面前静静地跪下享受安宁，就像一片深海的宁静中平静中一样，尽管四周可能尽是困扰。
It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus' redemptive work on Calvary, Calvary's cross, manifested in those of His own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit.
这就是主耶稣基督在哥哥地的十字架上，哥哥他的十字架上救赎工作所结的果子，彰显在那些完全顺服圣灵的人身上。
It is the fruit. Living humbly does not mean that we think less of ourselves.
谦卑的生活，去学习聆听，它并不是说，我们看清自己。
Quite the contrary, it is to be comfortable with and to have confidence in ourselves, to be able to care for the feelings of others.
实际上呢它相反它能让我们呢能够跟其他人能够够好的沟通能够操练我们的这个属灵的属灵性。
It is a discipline in listening, learning to listen, to insulate us from taking offense from others who may not think like us.
是一种能够操练我们去聆听和我们意见不同的人，我们还是能够去聆听，这是一种操练。
And it's a very important discipline for people living in community with others.
这个对和其他社区其他人共同生活来说呢，这是一个非常重要的这个操练方式。
It's an ongoing struggle to love and to be humble.
能够不断地去给予爱和谦卑，这是一个一生的这个努力。
So Paul says this. He says, "Not that I have already, not that I have already this, but I press on."
所以保罗说，不是说以为我已经得着了，但是我竭力追求。
The third attitude is to live purposefully.
那么第三个态度呢，就是要活出有目标的生活来。
But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
就像保罗说的， 但我有一件事，就是放弃背后，努力面前的，向着标杆直跑，为得着神在耶稣基督里从上招来，从上面招我来得着的奖赏。
In other words, that Paul had a singular purpose in his life.
换句话说，保罗的人生只有一个明确的目标。
He says that he pressed on towards that goal.
他说他向着那个目标竭力的追跑。
His language is that of an athlete on a long marathon race.
他的语言像是在描述一位在跑马拉松长跑的运动员的比赛。
This athlete is, his lungs are bursting to gasp the last gulp of air. His body straining with pain from lack of oxygen. Yet, he presses on to win.
也可能他在跑的时候，他的肺都快因为缺氧快要爆炸了，身体因为缺少空气而感到剧烈的疼痛，然而他依然竭尽全力继续前行，争取胜利。
It is the only way to win spiritually as well.
这是能够在这个灵性上胜利的唯一方式。
In our spiritual life, our spiritual journey, there will be many obstacles for us to overcome.
在我们属灵的赛跑中，我们属灵的旅途中，也会有许多的障碍需要我们去克服。
And it's very tempting to stop and rest.
我们常常可能会受到诱惑，说想停下来歇歇。
And even to quit.
甚至可能放弃。
The obstacles ahead are difficult.
因为前面的障碍实在是太难了。
The mountains of stress from daily living is too high to climb.
我们每日生活中的压力就像一座大山。高的无法攀登。
Let's just rest in this comfortable valley.
就让我们在这个山谷中歇一歇吧。
But the prize, my friends, is on the top of the mountain. The prize is at the end of the race.
但是奖赏却在山顶上，奖赏是在那赛跑的尽头。
Paul began his section with a well-defined goal to know Christ.And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. This was his prize, and he strived to gain it.
保罗在这一段话中呢，明确的这个目标呢，大概就是说认识基督和他复活的大能，并且和他一同受苦，这就是他的奖赏，并且他竭力的去追求这个奖赏。
There are a lot of scripture that instruct us to live with purpose.
有许多经文教导我们要有目的的去生活。
To persevere in prayer.
要在祷告中坚持。
To persevere in worship, in generosity, in thanksgiving, and in the serving of others.
这种坚持是要在敬拜中坚持，在慷慨中坚持，坚持感恩，并在侍奉他人上坚持。
The letters to the Galatian church.Paul writes these words.
保罗在写给加拉太教会的书信中这样说。
He says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up."
他说 ，Sorry， 他说我们行善不可丧志，因为若不灰心，到了时候就必收获。所以有机会的时候。我们就当向众人行善。
So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith.
所以有机会的时候，我们当向众人行善，尤其是向信徒一家的人，更当这样行。
And the image is that of a farmer who sows seeds with the expectation of a harvest.
那么这个呢，就是这个图片呢，给我们说话的图片呢，是一个农夫播种种子，期待着收获。
He doesn't see the results immediately.
他并不能马上看到结的果子。
He must work diligently and wait patiently.
他必须勤奋的工作，并且耐心的等待。
When we live with purpose, our daily acts of faithfulness, kindness, and obedience will bear fruit in due time.
当我们有目标的生活时，我们每天的信心、良善和顺服的行为都会在适当的时候结出果实来。
Brothers and sisters, especially those in leadership, let us not grow weary in doing good.
弟兄姐妹们，特别是教会的领导们，让我们不要因为行善而感到疲倦。
So live sacrificially.
让我们活出牺牲的生活。
Live humbly.
活出谦卑的生活。
Live purposefully.
活出有目标的生活。
And persevere in this, and your congregation will bear good fruits of love, friendship, and unity.
在这个过程中，我们坚持这样做下去，你们的教会就会结出爱、友谊和合一的美好果实来。
May God grant us the strength, the power, the patience to accomplish this.
愿上帝能够赐给我们信心、力量和爱，能够完成这一使命。
Let me pray.
让我为大家祷告。
Father, we thank you for your word to us.
天父，我们感谢你的话语。
Sometimes your word to us is hard.
有的时候您的话语是很扎心的。
Sometimes it's hard for us to listen to, and even harder for us to follow.
有的时候您的话语让我们很难去跟随。
But Lord, we believe in your word.
但是我们还是相信您的话。
We believe that you have put your seed, the word of your seed in our hearts.
我们相信您把您话语的种子种在了我们心里。
I pray that it will take root and bear good fruit in everyone here.
我祷告这粒种子能够在我们每一个人的心中扎根，最后结出美好的果子来。
So Father, I pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus.
天父，我这样祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.